We go.
World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Boy, I slept fast last night. I slept fast last night. After what we talked about yesterday, I couldn't wait to get back in here and go at it full bore this morning. Happy anniversary to me and my wife. 37 years today. Greatest gift I ever received, apart from salvation, was my wife. I didn't even know it at the time. I just married her because she's pretty. And I could never believe what the Lord has given me, and so grateful for it. And we're so grateful. We went to bed last night. She said, "Honey, did you get me anything for the anniversary? I said, "Nope." She says, "Good. I didn't get you anything either." It's every day is our anniversary. So I love you, sweetheart. I know she's listening up there. We got a little grandbaby in there, so she may not be listening. Hey, listen, ma'am. Exciting stuff. We really dug into some stuff yesterday. I can't even hardly sleep anymore. Just telling you the truth. And I got a feeling that, I don't know. Rich, I just feel we're tapping into something that others aren't tapping into that people want to know more about. I got some great stuff to share with you today. But listen, I want to give you a little bit of a little coaching here. I just already got two text messages today. Coach, I can't get in. I'm sorry. By the way, there's faith right here. There's faith. There it is. I'm sorry you can't get in. There's a couple things that you can do. You can watch us on YouTube. You can watch us now on Facebook. Go to my Facebook page. And this is streaming live on Facebook. Live Facebook. Jared figured out how to do that. And if that doesn't work, you can dial the phone number 605-475-0017. We are on the Global Star Radio Network. We have the ability now to go around the world listening online at 605-475-0017. We're doing everything we can to try to give you opportunities to be able to tune in. And listen, I'm not bragging. This is not braggadocious. I'm just telling you the truth. Men need what they're getting here. Men need it. And if you really want to do something good, begin sharing this with some of your friends. The old shows, pick out one and begin to share some of those old shows with them. I can't even conceive in my own head when I started this thing back the last week of January where this thing was going to go. 240 some shows, however many it's been, and the faithfulness of you guys. And, you know, I don't have to send a message out every morning and remind you, "Hey, Roger, we're going to be on tomorrow." I don't have to do that. Guys are getting up out of bed and they're plugging in, and there's something really, really good going on. Something really good going on. But I'm going to tell you, we need something really good to go on because the devil is doubling down. The enemy is getting ready to double down. And I was, if you didn't see yesterday's show, I'm not going to replay it in my head. Go back and check it out because there was a lot of good, powerful stuff. Let me make another point while it just popped into my head. I was messing around on my phone yesterday and lost a bunch of emails. If you sent me an email and you haven't heard back from me, yeah, go ahead and resend it to me. coach@ptsalt.com. Let's do it again. coach@ptsalt.com. If you send me an email and you're waiting for a response, you didn't get it, I lost a bunch of them. So if I don't respond to you, it's because I lost it, okay? I try to respond to every one of them. Maybe not right at the moment I get it. Sometimes I'm driving down the road and I see it and I don't have a chance to respond and I save it and go back to it later. So if you're waiting for a response from me or if it's important, please go ahead and resend that to me at coach@ptsalt.com. You know, Jared, I got that other than coach at coachdavelive.com, but I don't know how to access it. So I'm kind of dropping that one. Cool. You ready to dive in there today, guys? Are you ready to dive in? WikiLeaks, this pedophile ring, is about to burst wide open. It really is. And every day when I get up and I get on the internet and I check, there's a different video. Now, I'm going to tell you this. You can believe this stuff isn't real. You can go ahead and believe it. But it is real. It is happening. And so we've got to ask ourselves, as Christian men in particular, Christians, what do we do? And we have to take a look at ourselves and say, you know what? Our efforts have been pretty futile, pretty futile. If you get up in the morning and you're sitting around and you're saying your prayer around your Bible, Lord Jesus, just give me a good day today. And please, Barry, please be with Sarah, be with Tommy. And Lord, please help Billy with his job. See, that's okay. God isn't moved by need. God isn't moved by need. You understand that? Just because you need something doesn't move God. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. And what is faith? Faith is nothing more than an outward expression of what you really truly believe. Faith is now faith is the substance. Remember we spoke about that before? It's evidence. So you can whine and moan and groan all the way through your prayers. Oh, Lord, please take this burden away from me. And that scripture tells us this. I learned this about 1990. Wish I knew where it was. Doesn't matter. I'm going to take you there anywhere. Anyway, scripture tells us this, that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I ask questions when I read the Bible. I said, whoa. Does that mean there's ineffectual prayers? If they're the effectual prayer, does that mean there's ineffectual? Because I got to tell you, in a lot of my walk, and I know you guys here on the queue with me, you've been fervent. Boy, when the news starts to get tight, all of a sudden our prayers become fervent, don't they? Oh, please, Lord, do this, and please, Lord, do this, and please, Lord, I beg you, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord. Well, those fervent, but are they effectual? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't you want to know what makes your prayers effectual? What does the word effectual mean? I could go Google it, but I don't have to. Effectual means having an effect, meaning doing what it was intended to do. It's effective. It's effective. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are you a righteous man? Are you righteous, Jared? Are you trying to find that for me over there? Because I hate to take scriptures out of context. I think it's in Hebrews, although I probably am wrong. Jared's digging it out for me over there. Jared's digging out effectual. Okay. Effectual is typically of something inanimate or abstract. So successful in producing a desired or intended result. Effective. Effective. Jared, search effectual fervent prayer and see where that pops up. Because, guys, if our prayers aren't effectual, they're a waste of time. The Bible would call it vain repetition. Vain meaning don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Vain means for no purpose. There it is. King James. Jared's awesome. James chapter 5, verse 16. Pull that up there, Jared. Guys, this is led by the Holy Spirit because I had no idea I was going to go there. Okay, here we are. Let's go to verse 12. Michelle yelled down first. Michelle says, oh, here, wait a minute. My wife just hit me, Jared. She just came down yelling at me on my anniversary. Love you, honey. She just came down yelling at me here saying it's First Peter. It's in Peter, she says. I'm reading right now what Jared's putting down there. Yeah, there it is. Jared's got it. It may be in Peter as well, Michelle. Verse 12 of James 5 says, but of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no. Boy, we could start right there, couldn't we? Could we start right there? Let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into condemnation. Is any among you sick? Let him pray. Any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Well, let him call for the elders of the church, Robert, and let them pray over him and anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. Why? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Man, it avails a lot. There's a lot of power there. Elijah was a man subject to passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years, 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. So I want my prayers to be effectual. Is that what you want, Rich? If we are at war, if we are really at war with the devil, and the devil's using blood, and he's using curses, and he's using all that stuff, and we're just saying, oh, Lord, bless us, oh, Lord, to protect my family. If that's, that ain't warfare. Can I tell you something? That's begging. That's all that is. That's begging. And the Lord says, man, come on, man, you're in spiritual warfare. You're in a war. Oh, I got a lot of stuff I want to show you today. Before we do, I want to go here. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. Hey, look at me. I ain't afraid of the devil. I ain't afraid of him.
Amen.
You understand? I'm not afraid of him. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I'm not afraid of him. Can't kill me. Only thing he could ever do to is kill you. I'm already a dead man. Do I want to die? Are you kidding me? 37 years of marriage. I got a beautiful wife. Grandkids are growing around me. You kidding me? No, I don't want to. I'm not afraid to. I'm sure as hell not afraid of the devil. Right? And the Lord's given me weapons to fight him, to fend him off. Oh, I got a couple. Lord, I don't know if I'm going to get where you want me to go, but I'm going to do my best. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. We'll just start the beginning. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Hang on, Jesus ain't meek. Jesus is not a sissy. Meekness means controlled power, controlled authority. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the controlled power and authority of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Paul says, I'm going to act like I'm nothing with you, but I want you to know I'm fighting that fight for you when I'm away from you. But I beseech you that I may be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. He says, not us, boys. All this stuff going on around us. We understand, fellas, this is a spiritual war. And I ain't like all those other guys. I'm not like the Hell's Angels. I'm not like Black Lives Matter fighting in the natural realm. So I ain't doing that. And I said, I am fighting in the natural realm, but that's not our key. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Understand this. He is saying we war in the spiritual realm, and you cannot war against the devil and spiritual darkness with carnal. You can't go just tear down a building. That is not sufficient. Because you have not killed or taken authority over that beast behind it. We have got to bind that strong man. And how do we bind that strong man? With the blood of Jesus. We talked about that yesterday. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Why? Why are they mighty through God? Because we're going to pull down some strongholds. We're going to cast down imaginations. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. What we know about God. And then what are we going to do? We're going to bring into captivity. We're going to take captive every thought and bring it into the obedience of Christ. and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your disobedience is fulfilled. So what disobedience is he talking about? Talking about the disobedience in the spiritual realm, and the darkness is disobedience. It says, quit looking at things after the outward appearance. If any man trust to himself that he's Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so we are Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord has given us for our edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by my letters. Blah, 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 blah. So we understand this. He tells us your weapons aren't carnal. It's not guns, and it's not knives, and it's not bombs, although you may have to use those. That ain't going to win the war, because our battle's a spiritual one. You with me, fellas? So I felt like I kind of left you hanging yesterday. I'm doing this in reverse. I'm going to give you the good news first, and then I'm going to come back to the bad news.
Coach, somebody can I jump in? Can I ask something real quick?
Sure.
Just the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but we do live in the flesh.
Amen.
So you don't say convert or die, but that doesn't mean you don't fight in a war.
Absolutely.
But it's just, look, I'm fighting for law and order, and I don't expect you to be saved because of my fighting. You see what I mean? But that doesn't mean you don't fight.
Jared, it's like like the other night when we went and saw Hacksaw Ridge. And brother, everybody sitting in there was cheering the fact that the good guys are killing the bad guys. Everybody was cheering. But when we try to do that in the church, good guys kill the bad guys, boy, we get a lot of resistance, don't we? So even though our war is in a spiritual realm, everything in a – guys, listen. Why do they drink blood? Why do they abort babies? Because what happens in the natural realm helps fuel the spiritual realm, and vice versa. So when we use our weapons, which I'm going to get to here in a second, weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down. To pulling down a stronghold. What the hell is a stronghold? Casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. See, that comes back to the blood. Take authority over it. By taking authority over it, we say what? The blood of Jesus is against you. Did you guys ever sing that song? Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. It is. That is the ultimate weapon, but we do not know how to apply it. You with me? So we just read it there. Paul told us. And then we know that in Ephesians, let's go there real quick, Jared. Ephesians 6, I think it is. Trying to make a connection here. I wasn't ready to do this. I think pretty sure it's Ephesians 6. Yes, 10. Connect the dots. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Hey, is the devil in the natural world? Is the devil in the natural world? No. So we have to put on spiritual weaponry to fight a spiritual battle, which manifests in the natural realm. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against John Podesta and Hillary Clinton using blood and eating cannibalism. That's why we're warned against it. The rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, you stand. It gives you the armor. Put on the helmet of salvation. Well, look. Oh, man. Lord, I need a month. Stand, therefore, having girt your loins with truth. Guys, the ultimate number one defense that you will carry is truth. When you, the belt of truth. I heard this, I don't know if it's to be true, but back in the times that this is written, soldiers wore armor. They wore armor. That's why Paul's trying to explain to us about putting on the whole armor. And the way they put their armor on, the first thing they put on was the belt of truth. They put a belt around them, and they latched the belt, and then everything connected to the belt. The breastplate connected to the belt and held it in place. Everything connected to the belt. So if you happen to let your pants drop, if your belt of truth drops, you're in serious trouble. Jesus is truth. Is it making sense? Making sense here? So you gird your loins with truth. First of all, you got to turn to truth. And then you're having on the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate goes over your heart. You're righteous, not because of what you did. The Lord has made you righteous. As Tim told us yesterday, once and for all, we've been made righteous. Once and for all. So you put on the truth. You put on your righteousness breastplate. And you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Because remember, we are peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Right. The gospel, the application of the gospel brings peace. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked and the helmet of salvation. Your mind is washed with the water of the word, the helmet of salvation. You're a saved man. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to. He says, listen, put that armor on before you go to war. Beautiful granddaughter there, Larry. Beautiful grand. I'll bring mine down there and put you to shame. You haven't seen this one. You with me, guys? So we still don't know what our weapons are. We know what they are not. But do we know what they are? The weapon. Understand this. The spiritual realm. It's like electric wires running from me to the spiritual realm. I'm plugged into the Holy Spirit. And by say amen, I'm empowered from above. I can't even explain it except I know. I'm empowered from above. But there are also other power plugs coming down. There are other ones coming down out of the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm. Pornography wants to plug into me. Anger wants to plug into me. Hatred wants to plug into me. Adultery wants to plug in. You following me? Alcoholism wants to plug in. The addictions want to plug into me. Well, they can't plug into me if I'm doing spiritual wealth warfare, because by doing my spiritual warfare and applying the blood of Jesus, all those cords are being cut. They're all being cut. They have no power. They have no authority over me. Because it was done for me once and for all, and I have to walk in it. But I have to put on that full armor, because the enemy will continue to attack, continue to try to find a weakness where he can plug it in. And how do I fight him? I fight him with the only offensive part of the weaponry is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We got to learn the Bible. We have to become more effective using the Bible, the blood in the Bible. So I said, okay, Lord, you're taking us someplace here. Lord, I want the devil to, when I get up in the morning, Rich, when you get up in the morning, I want the devil to take a Tylenol. I said, oh my God, that daggone Rich is up. And I did all this stuff and I threw all that stuff. And look at, he's up, daggone it. That's what I want the devil to think when he gets up. Hi, Steve. I'm not scared of him. Why are we scared of him? We're not scared of him. We don't know his authority. So Jared, click on here. It says, 8 spiritual weapons. Spiritual weapons, it says, Jared, on the link I sent you. Call that up there. Okay, we know what our weapons are not. Let me give you a little what to and what they are here. Anybody want to jump in here? Feel weapon. Welcome to do so. Again, Google's a powerful thing. I came across this. Read it, man. There you go. Once you become a Christian, you automatically have powerful enemies that you need to combat. I'm gonna break that because those enemies are always after you. It's when you become a Christian, you have the power to resist them. Okay, they're always out there. Look at some of your lost friends. They're so plugged into stuff. they got no control. But every Christian can call down the power of God to defend them and to oppress the enemies. Times come when Christians must stand our ground, start reviving ourselves. We must become empowered. And this cuts across all those that are called upon in the name of Jesus to save them. So here's your first weapon. Praise. Praise in the midst of the battle. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. And Jesus said to them, yes, you've heard, never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. The strength which God has ordained for us is perfect praise. Perfect praise silences the enemy and the avenger. Many of our problems would be solved if we could only get Satan and his demons to shut up. They operate by injecting suggestions into our minds. Remember taking captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing it in captivity? Which they bring, they suggest to our minds, which seem implausible, but they're rooted in unbelief and rebellion towards God. The suggestions come as they were our own thoughts when they are not at all. We lose battles when we believe and trust these demonic suggestions. That's so deep right there. This is so deep. It's so deep. It's the greatest battle we fight is the battle of the mind. So when something comes into your life and it ain't good, instead of saying, oh, woe is me, how am I ever going to get through this? Oh, my goodness. See, you fight with the word. Say, Lord, you said I was more than a conqueror. Lord, I thank you that you said that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Lord, I thank you that the blood of Jesus cancels this thing in my life. See, we don't respond like that. Thank you, Lord, that you're King of kings and Lord of lords, that you got the whole world in your hand, that you're in control of everything, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that my eyes have not seen and my ears have not heard, and neither has it even entered into my heart to things that God has in store for those who love. Thank you for that. That's what praise does. And the demons are going crazy because they're doing everything they can to discourage you and bring you down. And you cannot, I'm telling you, you cannot be discouraged when you praise the name of the Lord. You cannot be discouraged. And that's one of the greatest things. See, when the devil come, when the spirits come after you, when the dark side comes after you, and you praise and acknowledge that Jesus is King of Kings over this situation, you break their power. Understand? Simple. And how many times instead of praising the Lord, oh, Lord, get that bad news. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're going to bring victory on this one. Yes, Lord, I'm your child. I'm a child of the King. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to spoil principalities and powers. Thank you, Lord. Man, you just rip those cords everywhere you're going. You got that sword and you crack, 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 crack. Not trying to be overly dramatic. It's just the truth. And so praise then has to be coupled with the second weapon, which is the word of God. I'm not going to get bogged down on this. We'll get this to you. You can look at it later. You fight with the word of God. You fight with the word of God. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, what did he say? It is written. Quoted the word. In fact, when the devil came to Eve, the devil quoted the word. The devil quoted the word back to Eve. Did God really say that? God said, Eve quoted the word. She knew the word. The devil knew the word. He quoted it too. You have to use the word of God as an offensive weapon. God does not appreciate cowards. Oh, Lord, do I have to do that? Okay. Revelation 20. Go there, Jared, real quick. I'm going to show you something. Oh, thank you, Lord. No, it's Revelation 12, I think. Now I got popped in my head too quick. Where is it, Lord? Where is it, Lord? Bear with me a second. Somebody say something while I'm digging this up. Somebody talk. This is important.
About 12:10, somewhere in there.
What's it say there, Rich?
Now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, and the power of his. He's moving it on me. Let's see.
No, that's not what I want.
Are you looking for overcome by the word of the
21, testimony? 21. I knew I was close. 21:8. And you better let this sink down inside you, boys. You better let this sink down inside of you. Revelation 21 verse, begin on verse. Yeah, that's where it is. Let's begin in verse 5. And God, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, boy, I'd camp right there, wouldn't it? Every situation, it's not name it, claim it, but it, he makes everything new. He can take a crappy thing going on in your life, he can make it new. He makes all things new. Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all. Not everybody, see. He that overcometh. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving, wow. Hey, Rich, I used to have a t-shirt, you know what said on it? Cowards go first. The fearful and the unbelieving. And then he says, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars, they're all going to have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And of all those things he listed, what was number one on the list, Rich? What was number one on the list? The fearful.
Fearful.
And the unbelieving. Isn't that unbelievable? That's how much God values faith. Without faith, Larry, it is impossible to please God. God knows that fear is a weapon of the enemy, and he has given us victory over it. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But we, for the most part, operate in fear. Somebody say amen. All of you say amen, because that's where we are.
Amen.
We're fearful. We're fearful. And all you need to do, man, is stand up in the middle of some attack of the enemy and declare, thus saith the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Can I tell you a story? Sure, I can. I'm the head of the show. I'm head of the show. I have a witness to this. When I was going through my battle with American Civil Liberties Union, I was at the height of my coaching. I mean, we were good. And then we went down. And then they're going, all of a sudden they were spanking me because I was praying with the kids. And I was in the meeting with our principal and our superintendent. Jake Froning, if you're watching, Steve Allen, if you're watching, you know I'm telling you the truth. I took my buddy Mark Collier in with me as a witness. And they sat me down and they wanted to get my mind right. Froning and Allen. Coach, I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to continue to be our coach, you're not going to continue to do this and do this and do this and do this. And we expect this to happen and this to happen and this and have pumping up their chest trying to scare me with my miserable, measly old job. Like I was going to bow. And fear came on me. My livelihood. It was who I was. It was my ego. Everything was wrapped up in it. Mark will testify. He's standing right there with me. When they got through running their chops, when the devil got through running his chops, I stood up and I said to him, let me make one thing very clear here to you guys. Number one, a principal and superintendent. What makes you think I want to be coach here next year? Who'd want to work for you guys? Number two, whether I'm coach here or not next year, it ain't going to be your decision. The Lord will determine that one. And I turned and I walked out. And I'm telling you, that spirit of, you could almost hear that spirit. You could hear it tear. Because what the Lord said, that's my boy. That's my boy. That's my boy. Get it? I got a comment yesterday. It just popped in my spirit. I want to say this. I made a comment. I never go liberal conservative. You guys know that. I don't fight that. I never ever go there. But I mentioned something the other day about the God haters. The God haters. And somebody got offended by it. Several got offended. Just because they were voting for Hillary, I think was kind of what the issue was. That didn't mean they hated God. And they resented the fact that I called them God haters. Well, my response was, truth sounds like hate, doesn't it? Truth sounds like hate. You want to tell me that you worship God and you're for the killing of unborn babies? Are you kidding me? It's time somebody told you the truth about you. You've created God in your own image. You've created this image of who you think God is, and now that you're comfortable with this image of him, you and he are in an agreement. Except it ain't the real God, see? It isn't the real God. You're in a relationship with a different God, I can tell you that. We know this, that there are other gods. And if you want to be a servant of the Almighty God, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, then you better get your mind right about, you better be on the same side as the Lord. Lord ain't for killing babies. And if you're on the other side, you better ask yourself, what's wrong with you? Anyway, I had to throw that one in there. Let's keep moving here. Am I doing all right? Anybody want to jump in here yet? Okay. Where am I, Jared? I want to go back to that thing I was talking about, the fearful and the unbelieving. We got that out of the way. I want to talk about what your weapons are. What our weapons are. Put that back up there for me, Jared, please. There it is. So the second we fight with the word of God, I'm going to keep going. Number three, third weapon's the blood of Jesus. Guys, the only thing you can win with offensively is application of the blood of Jesus and speaking his word. That is it. Those are your two offensive weapons. Roger wants to get in here. Did we lose him? Go ahead, Roger.
I think I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Dave, I think one thing in your story of London that you always leave out a little bit, you didn't return as coach. And that program has never returned to the prominence that you had led it.
Amen.
God has a little bit of something to do with that. At least I would like to think so.
The anointing was lifted. The anointing that was on me was lifted. It wasn't about me. It was about my faithfulness to the Lord. He was honoring my faithfulness.
I understand, but my point is the football program has never returned to where you had it. I think there could be something there.
Yes. Well, you know, the Bible talks about the word Ichabod. You know what the word Ichabod means? The spirit has departed. Jesus wrote, I can't remember exactly where it is. Somebody wrote Ichabod over the doorpost and lintel. Ichabod, meaning the spirit's departed. So when I left, the spirit left. Not that there's something special about me, but I was the vessel that the Lord was working through. And they haven't been the same since. You're right. They haven't been. So, you know, Roger was my attorney during that whole time. So he knows what I'm telling you guys is he knows it's on the up and up. Roger, sorry you got blocked off here, man. Let's move on. So we got the word of God. I got someplace I want to go. The blood of Jesus, okay? Apply the blood of Jesus. Apply the blood. Don't just talk about it. Apply it. Hey, Rich, don't just show me your gun. Shoot it. Shoot it. The blood's one of your bullets. Shoot it. The word of God's a bullet. Shoot it. Fourth weapon's prayer. See, we put prayer at number one. And we need a greater understanding of what prayer means. Prayer doesn't mean to go sit in your prayer closet and beg the Lord, begging to do something. He's already given you the power to do it. Prayer is speaking to the Lord and coming in agreement with what he says. Come in agreement with. Look, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed until blood came out of his pores. Now, what was he praying about? Well, Lord, take this cup away from me. I don't really want to have to do this, Lord. If there's another way that this thing can work out, that would be okay. He is wrestling with God. And three different times he came out to see if he could find somebody to agree with him. Three different times. They're all sleeping through it. And finally went back in there and he had it out one more time with the Lord. And he said, okay, Lord, nevertheless, your will, not mine. See, prayer puts you in line with the will of God. Prayer, begging God doesn't move God. It doesn't, no more than if your little 4-year-old granddaughter comes and begs for more chocolate. It doesn't move you. Oh, it does, but you don't give in to it. Five, let's move on. Power of your testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of his testimony, and loved not their own lives even to the point of death. And I'll tell you this, every time I give my testimony, you guys are strengthened. Every time Rich gives a testimony, it strengthens me. Every time, right? The power of your testimony. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Sixth weapon, the power of the Holy Spirit expressed through the gifts of the Spirit. I got an email yesterday from somebody. Boy, here we go. Do I have to go there, Lord? Yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there. They were bothered by the prayer that woman prayed because she spoke in tongues. Well, I got my feelings about that. And what am I trying to say here? I believe I got a Pentecostal bent inside me. I believe that the Lord gives us utterances that don't come from our mind. I believe in the spiritual language. I believe in it. Speaking the tongues of angels, it says. Paul said that. But see, I don't lead with it. If you don't want that power, that's all right with me. You can laugh about it. What was that song by Andre Crouch? I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. And we'll tell you, there's powers expressed through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're outlined in 1 Corinthians 10, 8 through 10. I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to ask the Lord to show you that power. Why would we not use the weapons and the gifts he gives us? Seven, the name of Jesus. Wow. That name is all authority. All authority. That's why when you speak to those demons, you're able to say in the name of Jesus. I didn't tell you this yet out there, folks. We're going to learn more about this because Russ Dizdar, yes, the Russ Dizdar, is going to join us on Tuesday. We're going to have an hour with Russ Dizdar. He's going to explain some of this stuff to us, that our eyes will be open and that we can become more effective in our prayer. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, not God. Jesus. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And then number eight, fasting. I've been all through that with you before. Those are eight spiritual weapons that we have. Eight of them. Now, I would say this, probably most of you get stuck only on number four. What's number four, Jared? Prayer.
Prayer.
That's the only weapon you ever use. Well, Coach, we got to pray about that. Really, do we? Well, let's go outside that abortion clinic and let's declare the blood of Jesus over that thing and tear those kingdoms down. Let's go do that. Cool. So there you go. Questions, concerns? Got a quiet group on me today. You must be dreaming about turkey. Anybody?
Yeah, Coach. David didn't pray before he went out and took out Goliath. He knew in his spirit what needed to be done.
He knew. He'd already been fellowshipping with the Lord. He knew, didn't he? I'll bet you this. I bet he prayed on the way. In fact, Jared, go there. That's 1 Samuel 17. Watch this, man. I got to find it here. Jared will pull it up for me, then I won't have to find it. Man, I haven't got anywhere I want to get yet. Let's go on down. It's clear on down, Jared. Let's go down to, I have it, if I can find it in my Bible. Slide clear on down. It's down about, going down. There it goes. Yeah, there it is. Oh, I want you to see something here. Okay, it's good, Jared. Okay, Jared, go back up a little bit to about 35. Okay, David shows up on the scene. I want you to see something here. And verse 34, let's do there. And David said unto Saul, David shows up out of nowhere, take on this Goliath. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear. And they took the lamb out of the flock. And I went after him. And I smote him. And I delivered it out of his mouth. When he rose against me, I caught him by his beard. And I smote him. And I slew him. So the servant, David says to Saul, slew both the lion and the bear. And he's about to drop this uncircumcised Philistine too, because he's defied the armies of the living God. Understand David's faith. You understand what David is speaking. You say David's not praying. Are you kidding me? David said this, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the mouth of the bear, he gonna drop that dude too. Can you imagine the Lord jumping up and down, clapping his feet? Yeah. Now watch what David does. So Saul tries to take his own armor. He couldn't do it. Let's keep on going on down there. Verse 42, Jared. 41, and the Philistine came on and drew near David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. Hey, Rich, that fat woman disdained us, didn't she? She didn't care about us. She disdained us. And he saw David. He was but a youth, and ruddy, and looked like a sissy, maybe, fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come at me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give you the flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David said, oh, yeah? Huh? Remember, cowards go first. And David said to the Philistine, oh, yeah, buddy, let me tell you something. Verse 45. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And this day, dude, will the Lord deliver you into my hands, and I'm going to smite you. I'm going to take off your head from you. I'm going to give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines, and this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword, physical weapons, and not with the spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he's going to give me into your hands. Wow, how could he not? David acknowledged the power and the godship and the authority of his God. No way he could lose. Look at this one. Wow. 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came up close to David and drew out his sword to meet him, that David hasted. In other words, David sprinted towards the dude. Oh, I'd like to see that picture. He hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. David was praying and going at the same time. He knew in whom he did believe. Amen? So we don't get it, see? We don't get it. We have not been fighting with our weapons. Yes, Steve. Stephen. Are you trying to get on, Stephen? Oh, I thought you were trying to get on. You know what Chad just texted me here? Chad, hang on. Chad just said, the next time we go to the clinic, we need to use all 8 of our weapons. We need to assign teams, he said. Wow. Okay. With me? Can I show you a video here? I'm going to show you something. I got a lot of stuff more to talk about. But I got something else I want to show you. Just a little video. This is Steve Menking sent me this. This is a trailer. Hey, the enemy always tells us what they're going to do. They always do. They always tell us. Steve Menking sent me this film trailer of a movie that's being made. I don't even know the name of the movie. It doesn't even matter. Because when Russ Dizdar gets in here on Tuesday, he's going to talk about split personalities, MK Ultras, satanic ritual abuse, how they use people that they kidnap. And this is a movie, a trailer to a movie that's coming out. It's called Split, meaning split personalities. Hollywood is speaking to us, boys. Hollywood. Go ahead, Jared. There's no sound. I don't know why there's no sound. Hang on a second. Maybe restart it, Jared.
You've emailed for an appointment 2 days in a row.
Tell me what's going on.
I've never seen a case like this before. 23 identities live in Kevin's body.
Did something happen?
There's a flower on the pillows, a flower in the bathroom, like we're important. Who is that?
Maybe she can help us.
We're here! We're in here!
Don't worry. He knows what you're here for. He's not allowed to touch you. He knows that.
Mm-mm. My name's Hedwig. I have red socks.
How old are you?
9.
The human brain is the most complex object in the universe.
The only way we're getting out of here is if one of them decides to let us out.
Aren't you the clever one?
Hedwig, could you help us?
Okay. I have a window in my room.
Maybe you could show us.
Oh, that's here. Now it's closed. Now it's open.
Did you think it was a real window? So you could leave?
An individual with multiple personalities can change their body chemistry with their thoughts.
Someone's coming for you.
What will happen when he unlocks the potential of his brain?
There is no limit to what he can become.
Tonight is a sacred night. You will be in the presence of something greater. The world will understand now. The beast is real.
He's done awful things to people, and he'll do awful things to you.
Can't wait to go see that one, huh? Hey, Jared, go back to the beginning and show the very beginning how this guy kidnaps these girls. We missed the very beginning. Watch how he kidnaps them in a parking lot now that the sound's working. They're at the shopping center putting stuff being put in their car or whatever. Doors are open. Watch this.
Pardon me, sir. I think you have the wrong car.
Okay, you can stop it. So that's what we're fighting against, see? We don't have to believe it. We can stick our head in the sand and act like it's not going on. This is going on. We see it in the Podesta emails. We see it in Hollywood with Jared Loughner. Go ahead and mention the names of these mass killers, these mass murderers, that when they go out and they kill people, and then afterwards they're like zombies sitting at the table because they are totally, completely mind controlled. Anybody think I've lost my mind? Anybody want to dive in here?
Coach?
Yes.
The one thing that I think about all of this is, yes, it's real, but the conversation yesterday with the blood, the devil and his ilk can split the soul, but Jesus's blood can make it whole.
Amen. Amen. That's right. But we have to understand, Sarah, that they're trying to do that. They're trying to split the soul.
Oh, of course they are.
I went and watched Hacksaw Ridge the other night. And oh my goodness, I couldn't even watch the previews of other shows. I can't believe what's out there in Hollywood, what they are feeding to people. Maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. Portals, openings, how the enemy gets inside of us. That'd be some information they're probably not telling you in your church, do you think? So this is real. Just like the Holy Spirit is real, the demonic spirits are real. And until we come to an agreement or come to an admission that the enemy is actively working, guys, we're just playing tiddlywinks. That's the way I see it. Three minutes. Anybody bail me out here? Probably turned off half the world out there. I don't care. I'm just telling you.
The majority of people don't realize that this is all spiritual. Everything is in a spiritual battle. Everything. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness, it's a spiritual battle. And we don't even realize that the words we speak move in the spirit. Sometimes we want somebody to know something. If we are praying in the spirit and speak that word, sometimes if that person is attentive in the spirit, they'll pick up on it. I remember Larry Nichols wanted to talk to Trump about things, and he would tell us things on the conference call. And the next thing you know, he never got any contact with Trump, but Trump was picking up some of that stuff in the spirit because he'd start talking about it. So when
Michael, that's why the word says, right? The word will not return void. When you speak exactly. That word, it says we'll give an account for every word we ever spoke. Why is that? Because there's something about the spoken word. There's power in that spoken word. Not name it, claim it.
Let's remember this too, folks. That the word spoken by those who are not connected to the word is about useless. I mean, remember the son of Sceva or whatever it is where the demons, you know.
Jesus, and
he wasn't connected to Jesus they hadn't formed a relationship yet because he hadn't done what was required to hook up with Jesus, and he tried to cast these spirits out, and they said, hey, Jesus, we know, and Paul, we know, but who the heck are you? And then they convinced to whip his ass. Now, when people try to use the word of God and they haven't made the initial connection, it's going to backfire on you, folks.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen. Weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hey, Rich, that's what I want to do. I want to pull down some strongholds.
Hey, Dave, if you go back to 1 Samuel 17:46, what is amazing when you were reading this is David's words. He was not, his faith was not only that he was going to take out Goliath, the army of God was cowered behind the berms.
Right.
And David told him, I will also give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines. He knew the army was going to take out the Philistines.
Yes, he did.
As they were cowering, he knew it.
Mm-hmm. They just needed a little bit of an encouragement, didn't they, huh? And so it's all perspective. And I always, and sometimes in one of my, when I'm making a, when I'm speaking to people, I'll use this illustration. It's all in the eyes of the beholder. Everybody else looked at Goliath and said, oh my God, he's so big. What can we possibly do? And David looked at Goliath and said, oh my God, he's so big. How can I possibly miss? So it's all in perspective, see? It's all in perspective. And David went after Goliath in the name of the Lord that he served. It wasn't his own physical. Please don't miss this. He was spiritually powered to do a physical task. Spiritually powered. I'm going in the name of the Lord to drop that dude. Physically powered to do a spiritual task, or spiritually powered to do a physical task. Turn it either way you want it. Have a great Thanksgiving. Overeat. I call it premeditated sin. Gluttony on Thanksgiving, premeditated sin. It's under the blood of Jesus. Yes, I will be here Friday. Don't forget Russ Dizdar on Tuesday. And don't forget women, the call with Michelle on Saturday, 10 o'clock. If you need some more information on that, email me and we'll get you the contact number. We're not becoming Jim and Tammy Faye. She doesn't want to be Pastor Michelle. She just wants to hold a forum, get women on the same page too. So that's all available to you out there. God bless you. Remember why we celebrate this. Be thankful today. Be thankful for something. I could have done a corny Thanksgiving show. I wasn't going to do that. Be thankful. Be thankful. Hey, be thankful. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right.
Cool.
Awesome.
Good, isn't it, man? The more we learn, the more effective we're going to become.
Most pumped up Thanksgiving I've had.
Yeah.